Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Let's talk summer festivities. Whether it's celebrating graduations, jetting off on summer adventures, or dancing the night away at the epic end of summer wedding, Macy's has got you covered. Seriously, Macy's is like my summer savior. I have a fancy wedding on the horizon, so now I'm on the hunt for the perfect black tie dress, and you better believe Macy's is my first stop. I mean, with brands like DKNY and Michael Kors, it's a no-brainer. Macy's is the MVP of wedding season. And speaking of summer vibes, I'm already daydreaming about lazy days by the pool. Macy's is my go-to for all things poolside. Bathing suits that make you feel like $1 million, beach towels to soak up the sun, and even floaties to keep the kids entertained. They've seriously got it all. So whether you're glamming up for a special occasion or stocking up for summer fun, shop at Macy's.com or in-store to find everything you need to make this summer unforgettable. Don't miss out. Shop at Macy's.com or in-store, and let's make this summer one for the books. Becca, do you want to clean that matches your vibe?
Sure.
Are you tired of meh smelling cleaning products?
Totally.
Well, then clean confidently with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. Its powerful clean and refreshing scents transform every room in your home into a coastal getaway.
Because it smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like inspiration.
Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store. Also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. We are scrubbing in. We are sans Becca today, but it is no problem because we have a very special guest that I'm so excited to talk to. His name is Jason Tardik, and actually, he's in today because of you, the scrubbers. So I brought up an article that I'd found of his the other day on the podcast. And it's about talking about money and finances with your partner inside your relationship. And Jason Tardik has a podcast called Trading Secrets. He also is just a financial expert. He's an entrepreneur. And he has a new book coming out called Talk Money to Me, The 8 Essential Financial Questions to Discuss with Your Partner. It's coming out April 2nd. And so we have Jason Tardik here today to talk about love, finances, and all the things. So please welcome Jason Tardik.
Hey!
Wow.
Jason Tardik scrubbing into the OR.
This is an honor. You guys, I'll tell you what, your fans are deep and committed because I think there was one time you guys had mentioned something about a finance podcast and my DMs were flooded with your fans. Like, they're talking about money. They're talking about finance. You got to DM them.
Okay, so no, it wasn't. Thank you. First of all, our scrubbers are very loyal. Amazing. And they're really like the cream of the crop when it comes to like humanity.
Yeah.
But that aside, I wasn't just talking about finance. I was talking about you in particular.
Oh, nice.
Because I saw this article. I think it was, I'm not sure exactly where it was printed, but it was all about you and talking about finances with your significant other.
Okay. Yes.
And I am such a big advocate for that. Mm-hmm. And like, I talk about it all the time because I think it's something that women don't necessarily talk about. People aren't comfortable talking about it. And I think it's a fundamental thing in a relationship to discuss and be on the same page with.
Yes.
And so I talk about it all the time. So I was bringing up this article that you you were in and kind of going through all these things. So I definitely want to, I'm glad that you DM'd us because I wanted to have you in and like really get into your new book.
Yeah.
And really kind of get into the nitty gritty of that because I think there's so much to learn. But before we get into the book and everything, I want to catch up because
I was getting excited. I was like, we'll get right into it, but let's go.
Yeah,
let's catch up.
I want to catch up because it's been a really long time.
I know.
In an alternate universe.
Yes.
We could be married.
I know. I was wondering if we were going to bring this up.
I think it's so funny because I feel, we figured out it was 2018.
Yes.
And, we've come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I really just adore you as a person. I've always been like a big fan of yours. And so it feels really nice to like have you on the podcast and like us doing it. Yeah, Easton, there we go.
I got some behind the scenes, something I've never told. I got some behind the scenes dirt on that interview.
What?
Yeah, okay. So this is good. Yeah, I forgot about this. So when, you know how they like kind of like set it up, like Ryan was going to ask you and I to go on a date?
Yeah.
Well, I was told by someone like behind the scenes, like, you don't know what's next. So don't like, they told me to like deflect and kick. 100%. I swear to God. I swear. I've never told, but they're like, hey, we don't know. Like, you know, there's some talks about what's going on. And like, it was someone that was like, deflect and kick. Like, don't accept the date.
That
I
is
swear
so
to God. So
funny.
I was like, and they told me that as I walked in. And I'm like, what?
All right. So you're probably like frazzled.
I didn't know how to like deal. I was like, well, what did I say? What did I say? Well, you're going back to Seattle. I was like, okay. So like, I'm going back to work. Yeah. So Ryan was like, I'll have you guys go on a date tomorrow. It'll be great. And I was like, I guess I got to go to Seattle. I guess I gotta go.
Yeah. That is very, very funny.
It's so funny. But you know what? It's all good stuff. And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I've met your now fiance.
Yeah.
Such a beauty.
Yeah.
Such a great guy.
He is. He's just like salt of the earth. Like really, really good guy.
And you meet someone and like you can instantly feel like just good, like clean energy.
Yes.
Like instant. You're like, that's a good guy.
And he's not in the industry, but he can just be around everybody and it's like very chill. And so I really like that about him because he just can connect with people in a very normal way.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I feel that same way about you. Like I feel like you have that energy that's just like good, especially like I think coming off of like reality TV, there is this like stigma, but I feel like you really are just like you are who you are. You're very genuine, salt of the earth.
That's really nice of you to say that. But I'm thinking like when you say that, what is it? I think my like family and friends just keep me so grounded with everything, right?
Yeah.
Like they check me with anything from personal issues to professional things. Like, what the hell are you doing here? What are you saying here? And I actually think that's like a huge life lesson. It's like making sure the people in your corner are not an echo chamber.
Yeah.
Like you need to be held accountable by the people you love and adore.
Yeah.
And when they give you that feedback, you have to be willing to listen.
Yeah.
And I think that's been huge.
So I want to pivot into kind of, I think the article that I found, it was you kind of discussing things. Obviously, you were engaged to Caitlin. Yep. That engagement ended. And I'm really sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
I know
you.
No matter what goes on behind the scenes, it sucks for both people involved. So yeah, I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
But one thing I wanted to get into was something that you mentioned in the book, Talk Money to Me. And it's in the investment that you guys made in your dogs.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Making an investment in sharing something that, you know, before you are married is very interesting because then you break up and like, what do you do with the dogs? I'm very curious of your situation, how you split the time.
Yeah. Okay. So in to give some like background here for anyone listening. So the book's Talk Money to Me and the first two chapters are all about things like I screwed up. And I talk about some of my, you know, my resume just to build credibility in the finance space to say, hey, listen, like if I'm doing it, you know, maybe others are doing it too. And so, you know, I was a banker, MBA in accounting and finance, owned several businesses, stuff like that. So this is like, I'm a personal finance expert, at least I tell myself I am, and I still missed a lot of this. So that's kind of like the first two chapters. And in these chapters, I talk about the fact
that— But it's not, the thing is, finance isn't like sexy. You know, when you start dating someone, you don't really bring it up. You don't really think to bring it up. And then it's like, you're so far in that you're just in. And then you kind of don't realize that you didn't really cover all the bases. So it's like, I wouldn't be so hard on yourself because it's like, you are this financial guy, but it makes sense that you didn't bring it into your relationship.
Yeah, it's not sexy. It's quite frankly hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Most of us don't even know what to talk about because we weren't taught it in our system. So imagine you have to talk about something that we know has a very deep tie to success in relationships and even has a connection to intimacy. So, and I promise I'm going to answer the dog question, but 73% of couples say that money is a material point of contention in the relationship. Of this study, more than half of them said that the money issues are connecting to decreased intimacy. So these money topics are not only impacting like our wallets and how we're living in our arguments, they're impacting our physical intimacy within our relationship. So it's such a huge topic. It's one I'm passionate about and I could talk all day about.
I could too, because I also think that the way that you handle your finances as an individual is one thing, but then you're never going to find another individual that handles finances the exact same way as you. We're individuals for a reason, you know? So it's like learning how somebody else deals with their financial situations and then kind of compromising, coming to like a middle ground because it's just impossible, you know what I mean, to find someone that's exactly on the same page as you.
Impossible, which means it's even that much more important to talk about. Because we know it's a huge asset. We know it's weaponized. We know it's leveraged. We know there's massive financial deception. 43% of all relationships, at least one person is committing what's called financial infidelity. So that's like cheating and manipulation through money. So we know that there are all sorts of issues with it. So the overarching theme of like, we don't have a choice to want to get comfortable. We need to get comfortable. Yeah. And then I'll even tie it back to your question with the dog. So, you know, it's so hard to think about these like fur babies you're obsessed with as an asset. But a lot of things with finance, you don't think about as like contracts or assets, but they are. According to law, a dog is an actual asset, right? So the idea is when you get a joint asset, you gotta have some type of contract in place. Even if it's like super high level, you go to LegalZoom, you just draft it up yourself. The idea of like coming up with what happens today, what do we do with expenses? And if tomorrow doesn't work out, what does it look like?
Yeah.
Is so preventative and so important. That also ties to like postnups and prenups. And with both the dogs, we didn't have any type of contracts. And you can imagine though, yes, there's handshake agreements, but then when things get ruffled a little bit, you know, that can change the tide too. So the importance, whether it's with dogs, assets, et cetera, is huge. And so in this book too, unfortunately, we learn from just massive mistakes.
Yeah.
So I put a survey out there on my Instagram. I was like, if you know someone who's experienced financial fraud in a relationship or a loved one, shoot me the story, send me an email. We got over 1,000 emails. Like I've never put anything on Instagram that's gotten that much response.
Wow.
And the stories, I couldn't believe them. But one specific in this book, she went by Jane Doe. She wanted to be anonymous, but she gets married to this guy quickly. She doesn't have the income he does, but he says his credit is bad. So she takes out the mortgage and then he puts his name on the deed with her because he said he'll Venmo her. Okay. So the mortgage is in her name and the deed, they both have ownership of the house. The day they close, IRS sends a letter. The IRS owns the entire house because he has back taxes he owed. They end up getting divorced. She and her new husband had to pay off all of his back taxes to get ownership of their house. And she lost over $100,000. And this is someone who had earnings of $55,000. So this is the stuff that's happening day in and day out. And like, we have to protect ourselves. We have to. I know. It's crazy.
So crazy. But I remember before my fiance and I were engaged, we got our puppy together. And a lot of people were telling me like, this is a mistake. Like, you shouldn't do that before you're married. You know, like this, what happens if you guys break up? Like, who gets the dog? And I was like, me, of course. But like, but I never thought of it in that way. You know what I mean? Like, because when you're in a relationship, you don't think about it ending. And then, but it is like, it's like, and I also think too, not even just like custody of the dog, but also like finances. What if they need surgery? Who's going to pay for the surgery? What if they need like, you know, all the stuff that you need at the vet, you know, like where does that go? Is it just whoever's there with that day that has to take care of it? You know, like there's all this stuff that kind of comes into play.
Oh my, so many things that come into play with that. And the idea of like thinking about breaking up and the idea of thinking about like who gets the pet and how it works. It's like so hard, especially with a pet like that. But it also, I hate to say this, there's this massive business behind it. How do I know? Because when we broke up, I had to think through this and I started calling people and I see there are many attorneys out there all over the country that literally make their entire careers and living off dog ownership custody battles.
That is like,
this is
so
a massive,
wild.
Massive thing. So if you think about that, and I also want to make sure it's very clear, like my ex and I have a great situation right now. We're in agreement. We're in lockstep. We actually had a joint account for the dogs. We both funded that we used for the dogs. So like it all worked out. But this type of example also leads to prenups and postnups.
Yeah. Are you a fan?
Huge fan.
Okay.
Huge fan. And one thing I want to say I'm a huge fan of is because of what you said, protection of some of, like we know that in higher household incomes, according to research today, it's 70% of the men that are taking control of the finances. Mm-hmm. We also know that women are outliving men. We also know that the wage gap is closing and I think it's going to turn. So the importance of your message to be like, we as like new thought leaders and women in leadership need to own this, take responsibility of this and have visibility to it is so, so important. And this ties into postnups and prenups. For prenups, here's my take. Every single state, anybody that's married right now, you have a prenup. Okay. People are like, no, I don't. No, I don't. No, you do. Your state law is a prenup. California law is different than Florida, different than New York, different than Tennessee. They're all customized state by state. So the only question is, do you want to look at those laws and then customize them to your situation? Because everyone's situation is different. We already right. talked about that. So you have the opportunity to do that. Now, if you're married and you haven't done that, this is why I think postnups are huge. Think about a caretaker. Think about their career track. They now stay at home. They're forgiving potentially huge income earnings, acceleration within their career, and their own money. Mm-hmm. What happens if there's a divorce after the marriage and they're not protected, even though they provided so much value to their family, but they don't have that income source anymore?
Right.
They don't have the senior vice president title because they're now the caregiver.
Right.
So postnups can help protect individuals that are giving to their family, but maybe not earning. And so I'm just a huge fan of it because it forces us to have these conversations. And we know historically 50% of relationships unfortunately don't work out.
Oh,
so why
gosh,
not protect
it's so,
ourselves?
So dark.
I know, it's sad. It's hard.
Like, I'm about to get married.
No, you're great. No, Todd, you're great. You're great. You got this.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? And guess what? Macy's is celebrating in a big way. I was browsing Macy's online the other day, and I couldn't help but notice that they're highlighting some incredible AAPI-owned brands. I'm talking about names like Carden, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve, brands that bring innovation, style, and diversity to the table. But wait, it gets even better. Macy's isn't just celebrating with fashion, they're also giving back. Throughout the month of May, you can support college access and student success by donating online or rounding up your purchase in store to APIA Scholars. APIA Scholars is an incredible nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students to achieve their academic and professional dreams. And you can be a part of that mission simply by rounding up your purchase at Macy's checkout. Trust me, every little bit helps. So join me and Macy's this May in celebrating Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month and shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. Let's celebrate culture, style, and education together. Rakuten's Big Give Week is back with 15% cash back. This week, May 6th through May 13th, Rakuten is having their biggest cashback event of the year. It's a festival of savings with big cash back at hundreds of stores. Don't miss headliners like Ulta, Good American, and Dyson, and top categories like fashion, beauty, electronics, and home essentials. I'm so excited to shop for all new makeup and even some pet products and treats for my dog, Sunny. And during Big Give Week, the cashback is bigger than ever. This is the perfect time to shop for everything you need for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Rakuten really is the best way to shop. You can save by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, Rakuten deposits your cash back directly into your PayPal account, or they can send you a check. Rakuten has 15 million members who are already saving, and you can be one of them. Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cashback boost. That's an extra 10% cashback on top of the 15% cashback. You won't see higher cashback rates than these. So go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app, R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers, get it.
At what point do you think it's important when you start dating somebody to bring up these questions? Like, what's your credit score? What's your income? Like, at what point? And then how would you kind of bring it up on a date where it's not so intense?
Yeah. It's like first date, you're not going to be like, hey, what's your net worth? Right? Like, that's so unrealistic.
I mean, I wasn't so far off.
I was. Second date, actually. Let me see your personal financial statement.
Not first date, but it was definitely one of the early ones where I was like, talk money to me.
I love it. All right, I'm going to answer the question. I have a question for you though. When you had those conversations, what was like the intention behind it? Like what made you say like day one, day two? Because this is rare and it's beautiful. But like, what was some of your thought process behind it?
I think for me, I've always been very, I don't want to say careful, but like smart with my money. I don't spend a ton. I'm not against anybody that spends a ton. I don't judge, but like I'm very intentional about my finances. I also want to have a security like thing in place. Mm-hmm. So, and I dated a ton as you know, they tried to set me up. I was dating a lot of men and I felt like they're like men. A lot of men are kind of like, you think men have finance all figured out. A lot of them don't. And so I was learning that like a lot of men have no freaking clue what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I just don't want to end up like, again, I'm not sitting here saying I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm really good with all this financial stuff, but I think I'm a little bit more than the norm.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want somebody that's kind of at my level.
Love it.
In this kind of sense. Yeah. And also my fiance had two kids and had gone through a divorce. So I was just like, I need to know kind of what that situation is. You know, I just wanted to like know what was going on before I was like too deep in.
Yeah. No, it's so important. I think one thing that's big is like for anyone out there that's having financial challenges, like your net worth is not your self worth, right? And the idea is like when you have these conversations, never let anyone shame you, because having the conversation is the hardest thing to do. Most people in relationships, we talk about red flags all the time. Gaslighting, manipulation, lying, right? The problem with the finance talk is we all bury our flags so we can't even see them.
Yeah.
So if you're even showing your red flag when it comes to finance, like hats off to you, because every person in here in some capacity can improve their finances at some level. So like first and foremost, that's that. When it comes to the credit, it's a huge point, because you can look at someone with like a 600 to seven, like under 620 credit score, and someone that has a 760 credit score. And for the same house, $300,000 mortgage, 30 years, the person with a 760 or above is going to pay $110,000 less in interest over 30 years for the same exact asset. So you think about what
so
that
crazy.
Means.
Yeah.
And if you have less than a 620, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be dating someone that has a 700.
Right,
it means
right.
Talk about it
right.
So you can get on the same page.
Right.
Another example in this book that's eye-opening, and I looked at all the financials to make sure it was true before I put in, I have a buddy who owns a car dealership, okay? Guy comes in, perfect credit score, and he buys a $150,000 G-Wagon. He gets a 2% interest rate. A girl comes in that same day and buys a Toyota Corolla for $21,000. Her credit was buried because other people used her good credit at one point, co-signed when she didn't know, and their credit went bad. So her credit was less than 600. So you have one guy, 150K, G-Wagon. His monthly payment's around $2,100. $21,000 Toyota Corolla, terrible credit. Because of that, the insurance monthly went up significantly. Her monthly payment for the $21,000 Toyota Corolla was more than the G-Wagon.
Yeah.
And the dealer showed me this, right? So the impact of credit is huge on what we pay over time. And the visibility to this stuff's important so that we can help one another improve it. But it goes back to your question. A lot of people aren't going to step into this. So in the book, I have 10 questions that you can go on your first date and have fun with money discussions, because money is usually like icky, weird, and we want to run from it. So like a good one would be like, you go on a first date, you know, if you win $1 million today and you have to spend every dollar, like where are you spending it? How are you spending it and why?
Oh, that's a
you
fun know,
that's
one.
That's a fun one, because it's like you gotta get creative, and it also tells me about your patterns. Like, what's important to you? Is it like an experience?
Right. Like, if I'm like, I'm gonna
travel?
Go to the mall.
Yeah, you're gonna go to the mall.
And I'm gonna book a trip.
Book a trip.
Or if I'm like, I'm gonna invest it, and then like, you know.
Or is it a mom and dad that so you can learn and have a conversation?
Right, right, right.
Another fun one is like, unless you go broke today, what is one thing like you know, Tanya, you overspend on, but like, what is it and why do you spend it on that?
Right.
Or like in the last year, what's the most outrageous purchase you made and what was it? You can start to learn about people's behaviors and have fun with it.
Yeah.
And then I think from there, you can get further into the conversation. I have a fun little like stupid cheesy saying that's like, if you can have sex, you can start talking about checks, like at least to have the conversation going. But I think like the absolute golden rule is like, you cannot go and cohabitate with someone until you know the 8 numbers that we talk about in this book, if you want to set yourself up for success.
Yeah. It's so true. Cause like I was reading through kind of your book and the things that you say to like find out about early on. And it's funny because I'm like, I talk with my fiance about money a lot,
yeah.
but I didn't even know his credit score until like recently. Like it didn't even like cross my mind. You know what I mean? But,
yeah.
And like, we talk about finances a lot. And like, as we're trying to, you know, get married and like merge deciding, I think also to deciding if you want to keep your finances separate or keep mm-hmm. something separate and do a joint thing, or if you just all both want to just make a joint thing and kind of go from there. It's like everybody does things a different way. And like,
totally.
I talk to a lot of other women who mm-hmm. are in households, you know, where there's other children involved,
sure.
you know, like stepkids, and how that financial situation works. And it's
yeah.
like everybody deals with stuff in a different way. And so
yeah.
I think it's important because there's not, you can't sit here and say there's one way that everybody has to do it. Everybody's
no.
circumstances are different. But I think having the conversation is so, so, so important. And I love this book because I feel like I've never really seen anything like it.
Yeah, I think there's so many like self-help books with love, and there's so
right.
many with money, but like marrying the two, there's not much out there. And like you said, there are so many people in the personal finance space that have these like cookie cutter solutions. There is nothing cookie cutter in finance. Absolutely
yeah.
not. And I always like to take, like, if we talk about all these different investments and mutual funds and ETFs, and I bore you with that or lose you with that, I like to bring it down to analogies we know. Think about like you go into a grocery store, and then your average grocery store is 39,500 items in a grocery store. Your cart's going to be looking different than mine, than his,
right,
based
right,
on your
right,
occasion,
right.
what you need, the price points, et cetera. That's like picking out investments. So if I'm going to tell you what investments you should be in, it's like me telling you exactly what should be in your cart with 39,500 different items. Like, I have to know so much more about you.
Yeah.
And I think like, even think about our wine drinkers back there. I'm sure there's a ton of those listening to this, right? You don't have to be the sommelier. You don't have to know everything about wine. But when it comes to money, like kind of like when you're going to buy a bottle, you got to know a little bit, right? You got to
yeah.
know that like Oregon's got good Pinots and Napa's got good Cabs.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing with finances. It's boring. We weren't taught it in our system. And so we run from it. But I come on here not to be an alarmist, but to just be like, we know what we're doing when it comes to love and money and talking about it. We know today it's not working.
Yeah.
It's not. All the statistics show us. So like, let's step into it a little bit because it's impacting so much of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious because you said that you and Caitlin didn't discuss all these things
mm-hmm.
before
yeah.
you got engaged. Do you think if you guys had gone like forensic on this, that it could have worked out, or was it just other stuff too?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't point the finger at that. But
finances.
what I would tell you is this, is that for sure, because certain conversations weren't had, it left an area for gray. And then that gray was left to interpretation. And then as a result of that, resentment was built. And two good people had two different perspectives that couldn't meet in the middle on certain things. And so this is now going into like more like therapy than actually finance, but financial circumstances build resentment. And we all know in the therapy world, like resentment leads to massive issues within relationships.
Yeah.
It's like baby paper cuts that don't get taken care of become infected, right? And
yeah.
so I think like, you know, there are a lot of moving parts, but that, you know, there were a couple things there that definitely bled through.
Yeah, it's interesting because like my fiance and I talked about kind of where our priorities lie in terms of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, very passionate about private school. Like that's really important to him.
Yeah.
I went to public school my whole life, really, aside from a little couple years. So that to me, that's not a priority. I spend probably the equivalent amount of money on appearances, you know what I mean? Like on my hair, on my
sure.
nails, like when you add it all up, like, and you don't realize, like I never realized any of that stuff until I started adding it all up.
Yeah.
How much I spend on my hair, nails, clothes, facials, you know, like all that stuff that I just do,
mm-hmm.
it therapy, you know, like it all just adds up. And
yeah.
so it's like, sometimes I think it's having grace for like difference in opinion in a relationship and just kind of understanding, okay, this is your priority. This is my priority. Where do we meet in the middle? You have to compromise. And so I just think it's really, really important. And I think everybody, so the book is called Talk Money to Me, The 8 Essential Financial Questions to Discuss with Your Partner. It comes out April 2nd.
Yep, April 2nd.
So where can everybody pre-order it?
Yeah, so you could pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. If you go to my Instagram page, it's on my bio. And everything you said is so bang on about just the importance of these stuff, these conversations, like they just have to be had. And you also think about like the life you want to live, right? Like you think about retirement, right? So a scenario I give people is like when you plan for a vacation, like a week vacation, think about all the things that go into it. You know, your flight, what are you bringing? How are you packing? Like all the different parts. When you're planning for retirement, that is a 30-year vacation. That's over 1,500 weeks you're planning for.
Yeah.
And so many of us continue to put that off and put that off. And
I'm one of those people.
Right? But it's having conversations like that that allow us to take a step back and say, okay, if I can reduce my spending today, that 30-year vacation I go on will be an absolute dream. And I do have, in this book, I have a benchmark. So anyone listening, people always say, okay, well, where should I be with retirement? So I'll give you a little bit of a benchmark here. According to this table in my book, if you have household income of, let's say, $150,000, and you are, what would you say your average age of your listener is?
33.
Okay. So we'll 33? Round up to this table. We'll go 30. We'll do 35. So if you have household income of 150K and you are 35 years old, right now, to give you a benchmark.
By the way, Jason has a calculator out right now. He's really giving us real time. Yeah.
$330,000 in your retirement. If you're 35 with a household income of 150K. Now, let's take a breather. Not everyone's there. So there's another chart in here. So if you're 35 years old at 150K household income and you don't have that in, they're saying to catch up, you need to put 21% of your income into retirement. So the point here between both of these tables is to know where you are compared to where you should be. And if you're not there, what you could do today to get there, right?
That's important. See, that's the thing, that's the thing I struggle with a lot because I'm like, oh, retirement. Like, I want to live my life now. I'll get to that when I get to it. But I'm like, I'm starting to feel like it's coming a lot sooner. Like life just happens and it happens fast, you know?
It happens
fast. But like there's so much with finances. Like I feel like it's not just your income. It's not just your spending. It's, are you investing? Are you keeping money in the bank and having it just do nothing for you in there? Do you have student loans? You know, like there's just so much to it that it feels so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Does the book kind of like give people a good, like digestible, if I'm starting at zero, how do I get started?
It's literally made for that. So it's 101 basic analogies. If you are a financial expert, this book is not for you.
Okay,
if you
get
basic, if you get stumped up with words, it's called literally the no bullshit glossary at the end. So it is like the basic 101 to get you where you need to be and to like know everything you got to know to be dangerous with it. And I think even like when you think about spending, so there's a little equation out there for retirement. You take your annual spend, so whatever you spend annually, and then you multiply that times 20 to 25. So let's just say you spend, I'm going to just make this up. Doesn't, for anyone back home, I'm making it up. But you spend $30,000 a year on stuff. Okay. I'm sure it's probably more than that, but you know, let's just say it's 100,000. We'll do a clean number. You have to have saved 25 times that conservatively to retire. So that would be 2.5 million for you to retire and live comfortably. Oh. So when we're thinking today and we're not thinking about retirement, a good way to think about it is if I spend less, so I just said 2.5, but if we could bring that number down to 80,000, you now have to save 2 million. You just instantly have to save $500,000 less for your retirement if you just bring it down 20% saving.
Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? And guess what? Macy's is celebrating in a big way. I was browsing Macy's online the other day and I couldn't help but notice that they're highlighting some incredible AAPI-owned brands. I'm talking about names like Carden, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve, brands that bring innovation, style, and diversity to the table. But wait, it gets even better. Macy's isn't just celebrating with fashion, they're also giving back. Throughout the month of May, you can support college access and student success by donating online or rounding up your purchase in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA Scholars is an incredible nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students to achieve their academic and professional dreams. And you can be a part of that mission simply by rounding up your purchase at Macy's checkout. Trust me, every little bit helps. So join me and Macy's this May in celebrating Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month and shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Let's celebrate culture, style, and education together.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful clean and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
I have two rapid fire questions.
Fire
really
away.
Quick. When it comes to buying or leasing a car, what would you recommend?
It depends on like the circumstances because right now it just changed. But here's what I would tell you. Anything with the car buying process, do not ever go in there and say, I have a monthly amount I can spend, get the payment to that amount. Because a good salesperson is going to be able to structure it so they make the most money, but your monthly payment is what it's going to be. Now, the tough part about your question is 2 years ago, when cars were appreciating at the way they were, the answer was lease. But today, the answer would be used car. But it changes by like a used certified pre-owned car is the answer today. That can change in a month from now.
Because like I was always taught, never lease a car, buy a car, stop paying rent, buy a home, you know, like that type of stuff. And I feel like it kind of went the other way for a while where it was like, don't buy a car, lease. Now it's like, don't buy a house, rent, you know, like I'm like, you never know. It's like, I guess you just have to really be like tuned into what's going on in the economy.
Well, for leasing, when you lease a car, your buyout value is determined the day you execute the lease. So like I actually lease my car for tax purposes because the dollar that I could write off. But that amount, the day I leased the car, 3 years later when my lease was up, I could have sold the car for more than the number that was agreed upon 3 years before because of appreciation. So it changes. Here's someone you have to have on your podcast. Have to. Your listeners will love her. She's the car mom. She has kids. Her dad owned dealerships. She came on my podcast, Trading Secrets, shares every little hack that you should know if you have kids, when you're consuming, when you go to dealerships, how to beat them. She's incredible. Now with renting, there's a ratio. People, this one's easier to understand. It's called the rent to own ratio. Because fluctuation of pricing is changing significantly, it is a ratio that tells you how many years of your current rent you would be renting until you own the house based on the price of the house. Uh-huh. Okay. So in big cities, you could rent for 50 years and you still wouldn't own the property like New York City because the values are so high. In this book, I have a chart that tells you if your rent to own ratio is a certain multiplier, you should be renting or you should be owning it. Does that make sense? So if you could own your house with what you're paying for rent in 5 to 10 years based on the value of what the home is, you should not be renting. You should be buying it, right? Because if you rented that place for 5 to 10 years, you would own the property. So there are ratios out there like rent to own ratio that can help people.
One other thing really quick too, our scrubbers, a lot of them have, am I blanking on what it's called? Debt from student loans.
Student loan debt, yeah.
How do you go about tackling that in like the best way?
Okay. So anything debt related, first of all, there's good debt and there's bad debt. We classify this as good debt are tied to things that are appreciating assets. Bad debt are things that are tied to non-appreciating assets. Example of good debt, a house. You have a house tied to it. Mm-hmm. History tells us it's appreciating. Bad debt, credit card debt. When you go buy, you know, you do the hair, the nails, the makeup, you have no asset tied to that. So with all these forms of debt, what I say is there's an avalanche model. Take an Excel file, put all your debt, and then put all your interest rate. And whatever your highest interest rate is, I need you to take any excess cash flow you have after your expenses and pay the highest interest rate off first. It likely won't be student debt if you have credit card debt.
Right.
Now, credit card debts, it's kind of good and bad. If you're, you know, if you're a surgeon, you're going to, we know that your likelihood of getting the return on education is high. We also know there's a lot of degrees out there you're not getting a return. So the overarching theme is you have to know how much cash you have after your fixed and variable expenses, and then how you're taking that cash and applying it to the debt. And there's different debt programs and how to pay it back here. But what I'll tell people is, like, do not wait for a government bailout, because they've been talking about it forever and it getting pushed. It keeps getting pushed.
There's just so much. Like, I literally feel like I could talk to you for a million years, because like there's, and I'm like, don't even get me started on investments, because I could ask you, like, I could probably spend an entire hour going into that. Yeah. I know you have places to be and things to do. So I really want to quickly, before I let you go, are you moving forward in your next relationship? Is this like a priority for you, like to have these discussions early on?
Oh, 100%. Have to practice what I preach. Like,
so that's for sure.
It's a non-starter. Yeah. Like, all these conversations will be had. And again, net worth's not self-worth. So it's not like if they don't meet a certain level, these are conversations that must be had. You're only protecting yourself and setting yourself up for success.
And now you live in Nashville. Do you think you're going to live in Nashville forever?
I don't know. Like, I don't think I'm going to live in Nashville forever. So okay. I'm working on that. There's a lot of moving parts with the dogs and everything else.
Yeah.
So that's something that's, like, you know, really top of mind right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I'll tell people where they live is I call it the third degree priority probe. Personal, financial, professional. Rate 1 through 10 what that city does for you. Personal happiness, financial gain, and professional success. And based on that, determine if it makes sense to live there or not. Because the city has to give back to you what the cost is in one of those three categories.
Also, our scrubbers need to know, because there's rumors that you're dating a TikToker named Kat Stickler.
Where'd you hear those rumors?
Right here, our scrubbers. You got to ask him about if he's dating TikToker Kat Stickler.
Yeah, here's what I'll say to that question is, like, I think after my last relationship, I'm in the space of, like, kind of keeping things a little bit more private right now.
Because it was so public. Because it was so public.
And there's so much, there's a lot that comes with that, good and bad. And so, like, the whole dating aspect, which I'm relatively new to, I'm like, you know what? For right now, today, I'm going to kind of keep things private. So
until it becomes more serious.
Yeah, until things become, yeah. But right now, I'm keeping things a little private.
So would you say you're single?
Keeping things private.
So, okay.
I'll see.
I don't know. That's me. I'm doing my thing.
When I'm not keeping things private, this is the place I'll come back to. And then we'll talk all about it.
Okay.
Get your advice.
I get it. I totally get it. Because when I was dating, when I was just, like, you know, dating in a rapid pace.
Yeah.
I was like, you get, you know, like, when you are public about it, then there's expectation put on it. And so then you kind of weirdly feel like you're, like, letting people down, letting yourself down, but you're just dating. Like, that's what dating is. Like, you go out with someone a couple times, it doesn't work out.
100%.
But I think that there's this expectation. It does kind of make you feel a certain type of way. So I do understand that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've heard this Kat Stickler is a good girl.
She's coming on my podcast, actually. And she's a great girl. She's amazing. She's very special. Yeah. She's awesome. She's great.
She's going to come on your podcast? Or is she?
Wouldn't you say? Yeah. She's great. I interviewed her in Chicago. That episode's coming out in, like, a few weeks or so.
Is that how you met, or no?
No.
You met prior?
Yeah, we met prior.
Okay.
Yeah, we met prior. Okay. Are you reading my body language?
I'm trying to. I'm trying to. We need to wrap getting the rap signal.
No,
but, you know, I love you. And so I respect your privacy. Obviously, I have to ask and people want to know.
Yeah, you
but I think I love what you're doing. And I really want to encourage you, everybody listening, to get the book. It's called Talk Money to Me, The 8 Essential Financial Questions to Discuss with Your Partner. It comes out April 2nd. And you have the link in your bio, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the link in my bio. And the other thing too is we're on a book tour right now with Capital One. They're sponsoring a Capital One cafe. So we're just in Seattle,
nice.
Denver, Austin, Philly, Chicago, Delray, Boston. And then I think we're going to add, I don't know if I said DC, but DC. And then we're going to probably add New York and Nashville. So that's exciting. Yeah.
So everybody, if you're in those cities, go out, meet Jason. Tell them you're a scrubber.
Yes.
Send your love. And thank you so much for being here.
I love the scrubbers. I love you guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. All right, Easton, what do you think?
I love Jason Tardik. I just love him so much.
I do too.
And, you know, we don't have these kind of conversations enough. And so I think it's so important to destigmatize this. It makes you feel so comfortable about it.
I do too. And I think that, like, obviously he's a financial expert, so he maybe sometimes can get a little in the weeds of things that may seem overwhelming to you because they were overwhelming to me. But I think at the end of the day, we all deal with finances, you know, how to save, how to spend, income versus expenses, investing, what's smart, what's not. And I just think being involved in the conversation, having those conversations, you know, like, are just so important. What, you know, you were saying, somebody asked you, what does being rich mean to you? Right. Yeah. Was it that?
Yeah. Yeah. There was, I don't have his name in front of me, but there
That's
a guy we had on another podcast and he was talking about, like, what is being rich? Like, what does that mean to you? And like, for some people it's like, oh, I want like a big house and I want a nice car. And he said to him, it's going to the grocery store and not looking at what food costs, just getting whatever I want and like not really caring.
Yeah.
And that really changed like how I look at how I spend money and how I save and like the goals I have. Cause I was thinking about that and I'm like, cause I don't need like a vault full of gold coins like Scrooge McDuck has, but like, yeah, you know, like being able to take a vacation a couple times a year, like that's, to me, that's rich, you know?
And the thing is too, it's all relative, you know, it's all what matters to you. You maybe want to live in a smaller home and take more vacations in a year. Or if you don't really care about vacations, you just want to live in a big lavish home, then that's more important to you. If you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of just figuring out what's important to you, how you want to live your life, where you want to spend your money, where you want to save it. And it's different for everybody. So I feel like that's what makes the conversation so interesting. And I was telling Jason, I talk to a lot of my friends, especially friends who are in relationships with other people with kids and stuff, because the conversation is it's different. And so I want to encourage everybody listening to have those conversations. It's not weird. Talk to your friends about it, see how they do it, what they're planning on doing, just so that you're more aware of kind of different ways to do things.
Money, whether we like it or not, money is a part of our lives.
Yes.
Everybody has to think about it and deal with it. And it doesn't have to be weird. You can just, you know, if you have anxieties about it, like if you talk to your loved ones or your friends, you'll feel better about it. I promise.
Yeah. Like, I love listening to podcasts about it too. Like, I listen to Lewis Howes a lot because I think he has a lot of financial experts on and they say a lot of things that I never really thought about before. So I just want to encourage you to have that conversation and just love Jason Tardik. And I'm going to say, based off his body language, he's not single.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Yeah, I got a little squirmy, but you know, respect the privacy.
Yes, we love Jason and his significant other who may or may not exist.
Yes, exactly. We love you and talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all of the latest spring trends.
Yes. At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops.
And it's spring, so you know Ross has savings on sundresses.
And don't forget the sandals. From slides to wedges, find brand name sandals for less. Ross always has those for the low.
And there's always a reason for a new purse at this price. Deals on handbags? Yeah. Hold my purse.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself.
Believe me, your wallet will thank you. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps get them through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.